Join me in our call to worship from Psalm 30. Please rise as you're able and join as we in our call to worship. Sing praises to God, all you faithful ones.
God hears us in our fears and our sorrow.
Where there was no way, He leads us in a new way. Where there was no mercy, God surprises us with fresh mercy. Where there was weeping, God invites us to step in a new dance. Please turn to page 487 for our opening hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies. We confess who we are. When your soul is suffering in silence, call out to the Lord our God, who heals our brokenness, lifts us up from the pit, and restores our lives. Let us stand as you are able and together confess our sins. God of forgiveness, hear now the confessions of our sins. We fail to offer comfort and aid to those who are afraid and beaten down by burdens of life.
We are blind and willful as Saul to the pain and destruction of our wrongdoings.
Forgive us, merciful one. Give us sight to see with your eyes, that we may both hope and will bring hope and peace to our world. Amen. Hear now the words of grace. God's anger lasts but a moment, but God's favor lasts a lifetime. The Lord forgives our shortcomings and sends deliverance through the Lamb, who is seated on the throne and to whom all blessings, honor, glory, and power belong. Thanks be to God. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, God's love and forgiveness go beyond our capacity to understand. Yet know that through grace, we can sense God's peace in our lives. May the peace of Christ be with you.
No.
Please share the peace with a nod or a wave to those around you. Now we'll have a minute for ministry.
Well, you've had a break from Mission Maggie for a few years, but I'm back. With your bulletin today, you should have gotten the reaching out for the collections for our community. And on the back of that was the information about the Ukraine Relief Fund. I know we already did one. This one came in after we had already started the first round for the Ukraine Relief. This one, however, is specifically for an orphanage, and I'm not going to read it to you. It's all there. It tells you if you wish to donate, how to do it, gives you a couple different options, and the presbytery has been matching the funds that have been coming in. So as of April 11th, they had already received $11,000 and matched that. Their original was $15,000, and even if we have met that match, the donations are still welcomed to go to this orphanage. So that is our global reach. I'm not going to read this to you either because it's very simple. There are just specific items these three places would like. Very simple, very easy. There's a tub out there for you to put the things in. Mission Maggie will put them in the Mission Mobile and take them where they need to go. And then in June, the tools for school. But if you're out shopping and you see these things on sale and want to bring them in, hey, I've got a couch for each section of whatever we're collecting. Also in the Triumph, I put in about the household items for Eastside. A lot of the people who actually are able to rent places, the rents are so high that they cannot afford the household essentials. So in the Triumph, I have a list of things, household equipment or household items, sheets, towels, pots and pans, things like that. There's a container for Eastside out in the Narthex. And once again, they'll go in the Mission Mobile and go where they're supposed to go. One other thing we have added is an invitation board out in the entryway. I'm getting a lot of things that people are being invited to. And the one right now is about the veterans. And they're also on a pink sheet above the credenza. There's a thing with papers that you can put, that we put things in. You can pick up one of those. And if you want more information about the Ukrainian Relief and about that organization, there are blue papers out there that give more information about the Ukrainian Relief. And Mission Maggie is finished.
Let us pray. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, give us grace to receive your truth in faith and in love, so we might always live for your glory. In Christ we pray. Amen. One of our New Testament scriptures is Revelations 5, 1 through 14. It's on page 248 in your pew Bibles if you want to look it up. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open this scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the world. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb to be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
I love that. I love that reading. Would any of the kids that are here today want to come forward and sit with me for a minute? You are. Are you singing with these people? I didn't know that.
To introduce our song today, I would like to read Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. The more I hear that song, the better I like it. It really is a gift to have been set free. John 21 is the sort of a tag. It's not, scholars don't think it was part of the original gospel, but it does offer some particularly wonderful stories. Let's listen to two from John 21, verses 1 through 19. And while you have the NRSV, I'm going to read from the Common English today. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana and in Galilee, and Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was him. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they did. And there were so many fish that they couldn't haul them in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them, yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, blessed and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time he appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from death. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus then asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." And he asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, it's May, and I cannot help but remember a brilliant afternoon back in May of 2006 when I gazed at the Sea of Galilee. There was very little wind that day, and the sun beat down on the heads of my traveling companions and I as we squinted out over the open water. A few sun-bleached wooden boats dotted the sand at our feet. Hardly anyone was on the water, so it was easy to dream of Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee. It was easy to see them sitting on the sand, remembering the times they'd spent there with their Lord. It isn't surprising that they'd gone to the lake shore. The Galilee was their homeland, and it had to feel like the last safe place on earth after the tumultuous time in Jerusalem. Must have been around sunset when Simon Peter announced he was going to go fish. The stillness of the hot day had probably been broken by a gentle evening breeze coming down from the hillside where Jesus had once told them to feed the 5,000 people who had gathered there to hear him teach. Peter must have known going back to the familiar and busying yourself with the ordinary would be very comforting. The quiet, repetitive motions of setting nets, waiting, and hauling them back up would begin to quiet his confused mind. Isn't that how life works when we grieve? Repetition. So they gathered up the oars and the nets, which had been set out to dry, and pushed off into the darkening blue water where they'd spent the night under the waning moon. If you've ever talked with anglers, you'll hear that most believe that fish feed most heavily during the night. And during the spring, summer, and fall, you can spot a good many fishing boats blinking off lake shores well into the night, and then again well before sunrise. Some of these boats come back bearing the full number allowed by the state. But others, they come back with tales of the ones that got away. Either is okay if you're fishing for fun. But if your catch is your livelihood, like it would have been for Peter and company, and you return to port empty, that's not good. And Simon Peter and his crew, they'd gone to the sea, not just as a way of healing their grief, but as a way to survive. They needed full nets if they were to support themselves and their families. And now, after a long night, as they headed for shore, both their nets and their hearts were empty. Empty. So, figuring they had nothing to lose, they shrugged their shoulders and lowered their nets over the right side of the little boat as the stranger on shore recommended. Now, that night, Peter must have been the one whose job was to jump in the water to keep the mesh from tangling if it remained empty. It's an important job, and one that, of course, mandated no clothes. Just imagine his amazement when he realized he was surrounded by silvery scales, and not just surrounded, inundated. Seeing the abundance, his friend realized it was Jesus who'd pointed the way to the catch, and he shouted the news to Peter, "It's the Lord!" So Peter scrambled back into the hull and donned his robe, for it was disrespectful to greet anyone when you're undressed. Then, in his excitement, he jumped back into the water to guide the boat over to the master, Peter. The other struggled to haul the catch over the hull, but they couldn't. Many of them jumped in to help him, and that was a good move. You see, fish nets are simply knotted up twine, which has a habit of breaking when overly tested. And when one square of the net breaks, the rest begins to tear, and pretty soon the net's contents float or swim away. Now, these fishermen had been away from the lake, from their trade, for 3 long years. John doesn't tell us whether or not they had actually checked the nets to be sure that the knots were tight. So the strength of the netting was anybody's guess. But the knotted twine held. The nets did not break. And they were able to bring in a huge catch of 153 fish. That's far more than you or I are allowed to bring home from a day on an Ohio lake. It's more than would fit on most people's dining tables. It's more than enough to feed the disciples and their families with plenty left over to sell to others. Hallelujah. Drifting to the shore, the crew's mouths started to water from the fragrance of the grilled fish. They could hardly believe their eyes when they recognized their great teacher. He had died on a cross and had been placed in a stone tomb, yet here he was for the third time. How could this be? As they dragged the boat in, Peter hurried over to gather up a few of the just-caught fish so they could be added to the meal that Jesus himself was preparing for the little band. The Lord invited them to gather round the glowing embers of the coals, feel the warmth wash over their bodies. They smelled the fish, both fresh and grilled. They heard Jesus as he talked with them and blessed the bread before he broke it. Their hands felt the dry bread that he handed to them. And together they broke their fast. In John's gospel, this meal is truly a communion. Along with the foot washing, it's the most intimate interaction the students will ever have with their teacher. Don't you imagine that for the fishermen this felt like a dream, like the one I enjoyed by the shore of the same lake 2,000 years later? But they weren't dreaming. It was as full of real life as Jesus himself was. In honor of that morning, my friends and I, we decided to share a meal of what they call St. Peter's fish, hummus, and salad at a nearby restaurant. Oh, it was very touristy, I'll admit. The fish was whole, not fillets like we fix around here, and they're bony, with kind of a fishy flavor, at least stronger than catfish. But we ate it. For it really did symbolize Jesus' meal. And for that, I am glad. Still, I'm not very much of one for the tourist stuff. So, you may have heard how Holy Land guides lead tourists to places saying, "This is where Jesus did this miracle or that miracle." And I don't mean to burst anyone's faith bubbles. But the Church of the Nativity and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre look nothing like what those spaces would have looked like in Roman times.
Their artistry is gorgeous, absolutely. But it doesn't express the reality of Jesus' homeland. Heavens, the sands of time have long ago buried the actual stones that Jesus trod as he carried his cross to Golgotha. Excuse me. But the Galilee region, oh yeah. Peter's archaeologically excavated home in Capernaum. The smell of the breeze as it blows across the grass on the hillside where Jesus offered his blessings. The feel of the warm sun on the lakeshore with its little wooden boats. Even the taste of the St. Peter's fish in a touristy restaurant. These wakened my senses and reminded me of the amazing, abundant compassion that Jesus offered his followers. But what really reminded me of him the most were the fishing nets lying on the beach. You see, early on, Jesus said he'd come to teach Peter how to catch men. And today's story draws us all home. After a dark night, when their empty nets reflected the sad emptiness of their hearts, Jesus invited these fishermen to lower those nets one more time. He asks them to trust him, to follow him. And then those nets filled with an incredible number of fish. Fish that could nourish their bodies for the journey ahead. Fish that reminded them of the words with which Jesus had first called them. And even with such an abundance, the nets did not fail. They held fast. Their knots did not break. Where faith had lagged, when hope was gone, Jesus' guidance strengthened the disciples' spirits. And in a very real way, those nets held the grace that would draw them close to their master in the dark, difficult nights ahead and bless them with Jesus' peace the sun's rising each morning. Their nets did not break, even when filled with 153 fish, far beyond their capacity. This was a catch beyond their imagination. And in grace-filled love, those nets drew everyone together, together with their Lord. That morning seems so far away, so distant. Yet Christ's modern-day followers still face dark nights of sorrow. We often feel as though hope has gone out of the world. But look around. Seriously, look around. Look in the faces of these friends and family. And you can see Jesus' abiding love visible amongst all of us. We hear it in our hymns and anthems, "Amazing grace, my chains are broken." We taste it in the bread and the juice of communion. And in these things and in so many other ways, our Lord has knotted together a net of grace that wraps around us and stretches to hold us in love on the sunniest days and even with our weightiest grief in the darkness of nights. Friends, hope is alive. The net has never broken. And it will not break even now, for Christ is alive. Christ is alive. Alleluia. Amen. Let us sing from the handout sheet, "Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore."
In the interest of time, let's just do the first verse. And then after the service, if you would be so kind as to leave the handout on the table in the narthex. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Join me as we affirm our faith. John had told us that after his resurrection, Jesus met his disciples at the lake shore. There they broke bread together. Let us stand as you are able in our belief in the risen Lord. Sorry. This is the good news which you have received, in which we stand and by which we are saved. If we hold it fast, that God died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter and to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is alive. The Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give God the glory.
According to John, when our risen Lord was on the lake shore, he called his disciples to him. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Once ashore, he took bread, and he broke it and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish that they had caught. Like that beach, this is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to come and share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You formed us in your image and set us in this world to love and serve you. When we were captives in slavery, you delivered us to freedom and made covenant to be our sovereign God. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the angels and archangels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty. And blessed is the Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He was born to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. In him we have seen your glory. Baptized by John in the Jordan, he lived for you, spoke your truth, showed your love, and gave himself for others. In his death on the cross, he overcame death. And rising from the tomb, he raised us to eternal life and made with us a new covenant by water and by spirit. Accept our sacrifice of praise, O Lord. Let us lift up thanksgiving as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry at every place. We pray this through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And now, O Lord, we ask you to hear us as we lift up to you the concerns of our lives. We pray for the church here and around the world. We especially pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. Give them freedom, safety, and peace, and strengthen us that we may support and encourage them as they face the terrors of these days. We pray for those who breathe curses and threats. Give them new hearts and new lives that glorify you. We pray for those who work day and night in thankless jobs for little money and ask you give them hope for new life and rest from their labors. We pray for those who suffer in sickness and grief, Julie and Frank, Dave and Elva, Jim and Sally, Anne, John, Denise, Pat, and Arlene. Give them healing, both spiritual and physical, hope for tomorrow, and joy in the gift of your compassionate love. We pray this in the name of our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. According to Luke, on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which it will be broken for you, and do so, remembering me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me. Every time you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the life, the death, and the resurrection of our living Lord until he comes again. These, my friends, are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
we will take the bread and cup together. Please come. This is the bread of life, broken for you and the cup of salvation spilt for you. Take and eat and drink. Let us pray. O gracious and abundant God, even as we wait for the fulfillment of your creation, you meet us in Christ at this table, in this meal. We thank you for feeding us with the bread of life and quenching our thirst with the cup of salvation. Now send us out into the world by the power of your Holy Spirit to share your life and salvation with all whom we meet. Amen. And amen.
Let's sing just the first verse of hymn number 462. Please stand and join me.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus has cast a net created of love and compassion that will draw us together no matter what we face, so that we might feel his presence, his comfort, know that he is alive and is with us always. So go out into the world and share this good news with all you meet.
do so in word and in deed. Amen and amen. May the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.